Well, we lock up people who commit a crime, but how much thought do we give to inmates and their mental and physical health after they leave prison? In a world first, a research group from the University of Melbourne have analysed hospital records for more than 1,300 people released from seven Queensland prisons a decade ago. And they found that the former inmates were in pretty poor physical and mental state. With drug abuse and mental illness rife in prisons, the survey found these inmates are more likely to be hospitalised after they leave prison. In fact, they were up to 12 times more likely to suffer injury compared to the general community. Jesse Young is a fellow at Melbourne University Centre for Mental Health Research. He led this study, which is published today in The Lancet Public Health. Jesse Young, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for having me.
This research is described in Lancet Public Health as world first. Does that mean tracking the physical and mental health of former prison inmates hasn't been done before? Once these people leave prison, we just don't know about them or care about them?
Well, that's a good question. To our knowledge, this is the first study to look at non-fatal injury and the association between concurrent or this mental illness and substance use problems at the same time. So that's the world first component. Other people have looked at fatal injury after release.
Okay, let's get our terms right. What do we mean when we speak about injury, non-fatal injury? What are we talking about?
Okay, so essentially we looked at injury from all causes. Now those causes can include things such as self-harm, can include assault, can include exposure to mechanical forces. So that's something like, if you get your hand crushed by machinery or injuries due to, getting hit with a shovel or dropping something on your feet. We looked at all causes of injury as defined by the International Classification of Diseases.
Does it include drug overdoses?
It does include poisonings, which is a term used for drug overdose, yes.
All right. And the implication of this, or the takeout from this, is that within months of coming out of prison, these individuals who have been in prison, who have present with dual diagnosis of mental health issues and abuse, substance abuse issues, have a much higher rate, 12 times more likely than the general community, of injury.
That's correct. And we also saw other striking patterns. So one of our most important findings was that people released from prison were at most risk within 30 days after release from prison.
And what does that tell us?
And that shows that we need to coordinate continuous care for these individuals and support immediately after their release. So there can be no interruption in the care and support that we provide for these individuals as they transition from the prison to the community.
And I'm sure you've thought about this, but in a sense, it makes sense, doesn't it, that the higher injury rate is highest within that first 30 days, because people have come out of prison, they might go on a drug binge if they have a drug issue, therefore they might be more inclined to overdose, they might be more inclined to self-harm because they're feeling sort of lost and adrift, and perhaps all their communities are cutting off. And exposure to mechanical forces, well, I'm not sure how you explain that one, but is there some common sense to the notion that there's a highest increased risk to injury in that first 30 days?
Yeah, I mean, there is. The evidence that we generated, though, is that those injuries in the first 30 days, basically, we can target care to certain people during that time. So if we're talking about drug-related injuries, the greatest increase during that period was seen in the people with dual diagnosis, or both substance use problems and mental illness. Mm-hmm. And importantly, 8 out of 10 of those drug-related injuries observed in the first 30 days were in that group. So if we wanted to target care and be most efficient with our resources, we could target that group and pick up the majority of those injuries.
When we're talking resources, this is a cost-based argument in a sense. What is the cost, are you suggesting, of these dual diagnosis prisoners being released in the community and suffering these enormously high injury rates?
Okay, well, we didn't generate evidence specifically on costs in this study. However, by proxy, hospitalization is very costly. So the Independent Hospital Pricing Authority costed it out. The average hospital day was $1,840 per hospitalization day. And we observed 756 hospital days in our study over the period. And half of those hospital days were accounted for by the dual diagnosis group, where people with substance use problems and mental illness at the same time.
And so your argument or your thesis is that if we intervened more intensely in those first 30 days after release, then we could bring down the injury rate, keep people safer, and that would save money too.
Well, I think the key really is that that care has to be continuous from the prison into the community. So we can't just intervene in the community. It takes both systems to coordinate this care as people transition through, because any gap in that care or any discontinuity or lack of continuous information flow is the key problem,
in
my opinion.
What level of care is there for people when they leave prison? And are we speaking about people who have been in prison for a minimum amount of time, or, you know, or is it anybody? People have been there for 30 days or 30 years?
So we didn't, in our study, we didn't actually exclude people for any length of sentence. So we basically looked at releases as they happened to make sure it was most representative of all releases during that period. And that's what we found. And to your point, I think that, you know, we need to target care more efficiently, and we need to make sure that for these people with both substance use problems and mental illness, that we integrate alcohol and drug treatment with psychiatric care, because we know that these outcomes for people who have integrated care are better than for people who have to access two different systems separately.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Jesse Young is the Mental Health Research Fellow at the Melbourne University Centre for Mental Health. Jesse, there's two obvious questions that stem from this. One is, why are people coming out of our prisons with drug abuse issues, with substance abuse issues, when they've been in prison where they're not meant to have substances, one, and mental health issues? Isn't anyone working with them in prison? And is that the biggest question?
Well, I think so we saw that over half the people released in our study had either a mental illness or substance use problems. I think that's normative in this population. I think we have to be honest. Substance use problems are very difficult to treat once they get to a certain severity. And unfortunately, what happens in prison is it's more of a interruption to substance use patterns rather than actually curing those disorders.
Yep.
So I think, honestly, we need to provide treatment in that transition period, because they go back to the same environment usually that where they wound up going to prison in the first place. So these things onset very quickly after prison, and that's the key opportunity to implement a public health intervention.
Yeah, but just finally, of course, people would be finished with their term, so that would have to be voluntary. I don't know, do we still have halfway houses? Do we have enough of that sort of place, and do prisoners want to be there?
I think that the key here is that it's not a criticism of the people who provide services to these individuals.
Yep.
I just don't think we're resourcing it at a level that's equal to the need of people that transition from the prison to the community.
Jesse Young, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks very much for having me.
Jesse Young, a fellow at the Melbourne University Centre for Mental Health Research, and the research done by the University of Melbourne is published today in Lancet Public Health.